Great way to start. I'm a little nervous this morning. This is kind of like, this is something that we haven't done for a long time. So I'm really excited to be and to have the privilege of giving today's message. If we haven't met before, my name is Jordan Merck. I'm the Director of Student Ministries here at High Point. And as Melinda mentioned last week, Pastor Kevin is away getting some much, much well-deserved needed rest this morning. He kind of like built this whole thing by himself. So he's getting some rest. He'll be back soon. Don't worry. You'll see him and his face soon. But I'm so privileged to be here and to speak with you guys. And I've just been, honestly, for the past like month, just in awe of the work that God has done here in this building. And like every single day when we're here working, I'm just walking through the hallways. And I still can't get over how incredible it is that we have this space to meet, but also that we're finally just back together in this room. And so I'm so thankful that I'm here and able to give today's message. Before we get started, I wanted to give you guys one quick plug that it came up kind of late in the week, and so we didn't get it into the plugs video, but that is that you may have seen the big hippo. Did you guys see the big green hippopotamus out front? We have our playground that's going up soon, and we're super excited to get that, but we do, and we could use some volunteers to help us put the playground together. So, I see a hand went up over there. Awesome. We have... I think it's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. The plan is to start putting that together. And so if you're interested at all in helping out in any way, whether it's putting it together or hauling wood chips across the parking lot here and putting those in there, we'd love to help. And so Tara, our kids director, she's going to be at one of the kiosks, I think the one to the right probably, on your way out, and she's going to be there with her computer. And so if you're interested at all, go ahead and just stop by, and she'll get you all hooked up with all the information. Also, I'm going to move this so I can see all your guys' faces over here. Today, we are going to be finishing up our study in the book of James. And I say, I think we're finishing up because last week, Melinda, when she was speaking, said we have 2 weeks left in James. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm doing James 5, 13 through 20, and that's the end of James. So I was like, I was really confused. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that today is actually the last day of our study in the book of James. If I'm wrong, make a blooper video about me next week or something. Today, if you want to get a head start, go ahead and flip over to the book of James, chapter 5. If you want to, you can go to the table of contents in your Bible and look partway through the New Testament. You'll see the book of James. We're going to be in chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 13 today. Something else that we have here at High Point, I don't know if you guys know this or if you saw the slide before service, but we actually use the YouVersion Bible app, which is just, I guess everybody knows it as like the Bible app. And we put all of the notes from every single message in there. Actually, Wendy Finney, she's an amazing volunteer for us. She puts all of those notes in there ahead of time so that you can download that and then click on events and then look for High Point Church. And you can follow along with today's message, with the notes and also with the scripture that we're going to be reading today. So as I was studying, as I was praying, just thinking through, God, what do you want me to speak on today? Obviously, it's James, but what is something that I really felt like God was calling me to speak on? As I read the passages that we'll read today, prayer was obviously something that was at the forefront. It's a major topic in what we're going to read today. And so obviously, we're going to talk about prayer. But I'll be honest with you guys, as I was reading it and, like I said, studying and praying, there was a word that kept coming to my mind as I was reading the scripture, and that was the word others, just the word others. And, you know, over the past, like, week or two, I did some activities where I would just kind of sit there, and I was thinking about all the different others in my life, the different people that I've encountered in my life. And I was thinking, man, I'm almost 29 years old, which if you don't know me, you might be looking at me and being like, he's 29 years old. I shaved yesterday, and so I lost a couple years, but I am 29 years old, and I have met a lot of people in my life, and I can only imagine for those of you out there that are 50, 60, 70, shout out to my grandma who's watching the live stream, 80 plus, you can only imagine how many people you guys have encountered in your life, and I started thinking through all the friends that I've had in life, my elementary friends, a different group in junior high, different group in high school, it just kind of it rotated as I went through the different stages of life to the friends that I have now. And I have so many great memories with others, so many great memories with the different people in my life. And my parents can probably tell you, I had some great people in my life, some amazing mentors, people that really helped me, great friends. And then I also had some knucklehead friends that weren't exactly the best influence on me. And I was like, man, I'm so appreciative and so thankful for others, especially in the time that we're in right now. And I was just thinking about others and how others are such a gift from God. Having other people is such a gift. I mean, can you imagine if your life was like my favorite movie, I Am Legend? If we were just like for a couple of days, it'd be fun to like go drive a car wherever you want in the world, right? But then it'd be like, I just really miss people and I really miss community. And I was really thinking as I was studying James about how others are such a gift from God. And you know, the number one gift that we have from God is salvation in Jesus Christ, right? That is the number one gift that we've been given. And that's that Jesus came to earth as God in human form. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, carrying the weight of our sin. And then he rose again 3 days later so that we can have the opportunity to be saved. That is the greatest gift that we have ever been given. But there's also other gifts that God has given us. And like I said, as I was reading through this passage, prayer was right there. I was thinking about prayer a lot, but I was really just thinking about others. And I know that you might be in the same boat as me for this. The last 6 months have really made me appreciate other people. I don't know, everybody with the pandemic and with stay at home, I get that everybody kind of had their own thoughts on it. Everybody approached it differently. I know that for my wife Tara and I, we, for the first couple weeks back in like March or April, we actually stayed home. We did it, you know. And for the first couple weeks, it was like, this is kind of fun. Like, you can order food, you can order groceries, you can watch movies, you can work from home. It was like every introvert in the room right now is like that, living the dream right there, right? And it was kind of fun at first, but it got old really fast. For us, it got really old because we missed seeing our friends. We missed seeing, we saw our family. We kind of cheated a little bit. We saw our family, but we missed our friends. And I mean, we missed our church family. We missed just being together, being with the students that we have in our youth group. And so over the last few months, I've really come to find this new appreciation for other people in our life and really, really how important others are in our walk with Christ. If you've made that decision to follow Christ as your Savior at this point, others are so important in our walk with Christ. And as we dive into James 5 today, I think we're really going to see why that is. And so we're going to flip over to James 5. And as we go there, I want to just kind of pose a question to you guys this morning, just to kind of get the gears turning a little bit. And the question is this. You can write it down if you want. It's a little bit long. But it's, how can you lean into others to strengthen and grow your relationship with God? How can you lean into other people to strengthen and grow your relationship with God? We're going to go to James chapter 5. We're going to read a couple verses here to get things started. We're going to start at verse 13. It says, "Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him, after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." And like I mentioned earlier, prayer is a big theme, is a big topic here in James 5, 13 through 20. And if I had to kind of summarize what we just read in my own words, I would say it's really saying no matter what situation, no matter where you are at in life, pray. Always be in prayer. He talks about sickness. Are you sick? Are you suffering? Are you physically ailing? Do you have a disease? Are you physically sick? Pray. We all have a sin sickness. We're all born into this world and we can't escape sin. And so it's saying if you're being tempted or if you're struggling with sin, pray. When life is hard, pray. On the other end, it says when you're cheerful, when you're joyful, when things are going well, when you get a promotion, when you get a new job, when you have a child, when you have all these amazing things happen in life, praise God. Give him praises. Pray in every single situation. But as I read this, you know, I was thinking about prayer, but I was also thinking about the word others. And I read that line where it says, if anyone is sick, he should call for the elders of the church. And it got me really thinking about others, and it got me thinking about my own prayer life and how do I incorporate others into my own prayer life. And I started thinking about how I'm struggling in some different ways that I'm sure you may struggle at times too when it comes to incorporating other people into our prayer life. And the one thing that I know that I struggle with, and I'll tell you guys this morning, I'm convicted of this all the time, is that I'll wake up in the morning and I'll read a little bit and I'll pray and I'll go about my day and I'll start thinking, what did I pray about this morning? And I realize this is all I prayed about right here. The things that I want, the things that I need, the struggles that I have. And there's nothing wrong with praying for the things going on in your life. God wants us to talk to him, to communicate, to confess, to let him know what's going on in our life. But I find so often in my own life that my prayers are dominated by me. The other thing that I found that I struggle with, and I think a lot of us do too, is oftentimes we don't ask others to pray for us. You know, I've had many, many moments in working with students and also adults here too at High Point where we find out that somebody is going through something really tough. They're struggling, they're hurting, they've been going through a rough situation in life. And we find this out like a couple months later, and we go to them and we say, dude, why didn't you tell us about this? Like, we want to pray for you. We want to be there for you. And a lot of times the response is, I didn't want to burden you. I was too embarrassed. I didn't want to take up your time. But the thing is that praying for people and asking for prayer from others is never a burden. It should never, and it is never a burden. And so if you're taking notes today, I kind of do this with the students. You don't have fill-ins, but I have little things to write down. And so if you want to write this down, it's we're to pray with others and pray for others. As I was reading through James, I was just really thinking about others. And man, we are to pray for others, but we're also called to ask for prayer from others and to pray with them. Here at High Point, you can physically seek out and ask for prayer from us. I think at some point today we talked about our Connect card. Right now it's all on your phone. It's on the High Point Church app. This is my plug to get you guys to download the app. But everything's touchless here. So you download the app. There's a Connect card on the front page. As you fill out that Connect card, at the bottom of it, there is a place where you can put any prayer requests that you have. And that's a way that you physically can seek out and ask for prayer from us. And we have a prayer team that prays all the time. I know some that they pray all the time for you guys. And I know that as a staff, every single morning right here in this building at 9:30, we meet together and we pray. We pray for those requests and we pray for anything else that we know pops up in our church. We are called to pray. And that's a way that you physically can respond to James today, is to ask for prayer, because it is not a burden to ask for prayer. The other thing is praying for others. You may have heard the word interceding or intercessory prayer. That's going to God on behalf of others. Like I said, it's okay to have time to pray to God about what's going on in your life. You should, right? The Bible talks about confessing. It's just talking to God, building that relationship with him. But we can also intercede and go to God on behalf of others, no matter their situation, no matter if it's a joyful moment and you're praising God for what they're doing in somebody's life, or if it's a tough situation, if they're sick, if things aren't going well. It's going to God and interceding, going to God on behalf of others. Praying for others and seeking prayer from others, it's an essential part of our walk. And so I hope that as we read this today and as you kind of just process this message from James this morning, that you feel encouraged in the fact that asking for prayer is not a burden, and also taking time to pray for others in your own prayer time. I want to go back to the book of James and continue on here. In James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced fruit." So we're going to stop right there. James, it continues to talk about prayer in this passage, right? And he uses this example of Elijah. And he points out, and it's very interesting, he says, with a man with a nature like ours. And I think that's really important for us to remember, that prayer is not just for the staff of the church. Prayer is not just for the elders of the church. That there is power when we pray to God, when we give our lives to him, and we pray with faith. We pray with the convictions that we have because we've given our lives to Christ. He can do powerful things, and we see that there. He talks about that in the life of Elijah. And as I read this and, again, was continuing to think about prayer, another line really stood out to me, and it was just the first line where it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. I just kept thinking. I couldn't get that out of my head. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, man, we are to confess to others, and we are to lean in to others. If you want to write that down, that'd be your next fill-in as I tell the students. We are to confess to others and lean into others. And I want to tell you guys a little story just to kind of give you an idea of what this looks like. Being the director of student ministries, I get to go to camp. And going to camp is one of my most favorite parts of my job. If you've ever been to camp, it's literally the best thing ever. And over the past decade or so, I think I've been to like 25 to 30 youth church camps, which is crazy. And I have so many memories, and I've met so many people. Great memories, not so great memories. We've been all over to Oregon. We went way up into Canada and did houseboating, like amazing times. And we've seen so much life change. Parents in here that have been around me will know that I will talk about camp until your ears literally fall off, because I love camp so much. And we have so many amazing memories from camp, but there is one memory out of all 25 to 30 camps that I've been to that stands out above the rest. And I want to tell you guys about it this morning. So if you're here and you've never been to church camp before, let me tell you just briefly what church camp is like. You go through the weekend, or you go through the week, you meet a bunch of people, you have these like church sessions, kind of like what we're doing right now, but they're geared more for like junior high and high schoolers, and you have crazy games, and it gets really messy, super fun. And what happens is, as you go throughout the week, everything kind of builds. The speaker or in the band, all that, it kind of builds up, and you get to the last night, and we have dubbed the last night what is called emotional night, or in my words, cry night. You can laugh at that, because I'll tell you why. I am not a huge fan of cry night, and I'll tell you why in a second. But that's just what happens is you get to the last night. It's like the speaker gets up there, and he's like, he starts using all this voice inflection. He's like, all right, you guys, tonight, I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to bring the word. Like, he gets to the point of where he's yelling at you, and you're kind of like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling right now. Like, this guy is up on stage yelling at me. And then the keyboardist comes out, starts playing the pad in the background, and you're just like, things are getting a little bit weird in here, honestly. This is what happens at every church camp. And if you've been to church camp, I know you're agreeing with me right now. The reason I've dubbed it Cry Night, I'll just tell you guys this on a side note, is because I'm not a fan of it all the time. I feel like there might be an element of manipulation in it and the reason I say that is because I've literally had times where high school boys come up to me in tears, and I'm like, oh man, let's talk, what's going on? And they're like, I don't know why I'm crying. They're just crying. And so I'm just like, okay, I'm a little bit torn on what's going on here. But we had this particular camp, and I'm not going to go into the details of the camp just to protect the anonymity of the kids, but we had this camp that we went to, and we went through the week like normal, and we finally got to cry night, and we left. We left this service, and usually what happens after the emotional night, they're emotional for a little bit, and then we go back to the dorms, and it's the last night, and so it just gets crazy. Mountain Dew everywhere, Cheetos everywhere, like it's gross. And they stay up all night because they're like, I got to go back to mom and dad tomorrow. But something different at this camp happened. And I vividly remember this moment. Do you ever have that moment where you can remember like what the air smelled like, even though it was like 5 years ago? I have this moment where we left the service and we stood outside, and there was a group. There was probably about eight of us, and eight students, and then myself and another leader. And we stood in a circle, and we were just debriefing. We were talking about what happened in that message. And all of a sudden, one of our students, who is a really quiet student, he wasn't one to be outspoken, he says, I need to tell you guys something. He says, I need to confess. And he says, I'll just kind of paraphrase what he said, because I know little kids in here and things like that. He says, I've been looking at stuff online that I'm not supposed to be looking at. And it still gets me emotional, honestly, because that's not something that kids that age do. That's hard for any of us to do, is to confess something like that. And in front of 10 people, this student said, here's what I'm dealing with. I'm so sick. I'm so tired of being caught up in this sin. I need help. And there was part of me that was like just shocked, because they don't usually talk like this. But then there was part of me that was like, God is working right now. This is an incredible moment where he is really working and doing something amazing. But the thing that happened is that one by one, every single boy in that group said, I am struggling with the exact same thing. And there was part of me that was heartbroken, right, of what struggles these students are going through and the temptations that they're facing. But there was part of me, again, that was like, God, he's really going to work through this situation. And so we started talking, and we said, we can't just go home. Because you go home from church camp and you get on the camp high where you're really excited and you're like, I'm going to change my life. And then after a week or two, you know, things kind of go back to normal. And we said, we cannot let that happen. And so we said, today we're going to have a plan. And then we're going to lean into each other and we're going to lean into God and we're going to grow closer to him together. And we still do it to this day. This was like 5+ years ago. We still catch up. You know, some of the boys that were in that group, they kind of fell off. They weren't really interested after we got back in making a change and growing closer to God. But there are still boys that I talk to almost weekly, and we catch up. And I have a reminder in my calendar to pray for them every single week. Because God, he worked in this moment, and these boys, they wanted to change, and they confessed, and they realized the power of confessing to each other and leaning into each other. And they really lived out that line that I read in James 16, confessing to others and then praying for others. And the thing that I think about from that night, that I still think about to this day, is if they hadn't confessed, if that one student hadn't confessed, and if the rest of them hadn't shared as well, they probably would have gone most of their life feeling alone. They probably would have gone the rest of their life feeling like they were the only person that was dealing with this sin, right? Have you ever felt that way? I know that I felt that way. When I'm struggling and I don't want to share it, oftentimes I feel like I'm the only person in the world that's struggling with that. And the thing is that God wants us to repent to him. The Bible's clear about that, to repent of our sins, to confess of our sins to him. But James also talks about the importance of confessing to each other and leaning in to each other, supporting each other, walking hand in hand together so that we can grow closer with God. God wants us to confess and to lean into others. Let's go back to the book of James one last time this morning. James 5:19-20, it says, "My brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns his back, let him know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins." The last thing to write down would be this: seek out others and share with others. Seek out others and share with others. And if you're here today, or if you're watching online today, and you say, I'm a follower of Christ, I have given my life to Jesus and he is my Savior, we should feel the weight of those two verses. We should feel the power in those two verses and what it's saying. The urgency that is in these two verses that I just read from James. That sharing Christ with others and helping to lead them to find him as their Savior is saving them from death. And it's not talking about death here on earth. It's talking about eternal separation from God. I think it's just important for us to take a step back and to really think about the power in verses 19 through 20, that when we share with somebody maybe who has strayed from the truth, or we share with somebody that doesn't know Christ and they're led to know him as their Savior, they're saved from death, from eternal separation from God. There's so much power in that. And the thing is that God can and he will use you to lead others to him. He can and he will use you, use me, all of us, those watching online, to lead others to him. And because of that, it's so important for us to feel the urgency, of the Great Commission in the book of Matthew, to go and make disciples of all nations, to share our faith with anyone and everyone. We should feel the urgency in that. And we have so many incredible examples in the Bible of people who led others to Christ. You think about the early church in Acts and the thousands of people that came to know Christ as their Savior. You think about guys like Paul, guys like James. Throughout the Bible, we see these guys, and they're not perfect people by any means. They're sinners like us. But they found salvation in Christ and the gift that that is, and they want to share that with anyone and everyone that they can. And so we can't, I can't, you can't, let our complacency, let laziness, let fear let a pandemic prevent us from sharing Christ with others. We can't use this as an excuse. And it's so important for us from the book of James to understand that others are a gift. That we're called to pray for others, that we're called to pray together, to ask for prayer from others, that we're called to confess to each other and to lean into each other, to grow closer together in Christ. And I think most importantly is to share our faith with anyone and everyone that we can. And so what I want to do today as I wrap up is I want to give you just a couple of little steps, ways that you can respond to James today. And I have kind of like differing levels of difficulty because I realize that we're all at different stages in our faith. Some of you might be here and you might just be checking things out. For some of you, it might just, maybe you're a new Christ follower. Some of you, you know, you've known Christ as your Savior for a long time. So I wanted to give you kind of differing levels of difficulty so that everybody has a way to respond to what we read in James today. The first one is this. It's either pray for others or seek out prayer. And I told you a great way to seek out prayer is that Connect card. And you can do that before, actually, you can do that at any time of the week. Our Connect card is always up there. And so if you have anything that you would like us to pray for you over, please don't feel like it's a burden because it's not. We want to pray for you. The other one is praying for others. And this is probably the easiest out of all of them because you can do this at home in your own prayer time, going to God on behalf of others. The second thing is this, identify a person that you can confess to. And I'll tell you that I have some friends, some of them are in this room right now, that I can trust with anything. I can tell them anything that's going on in my life. I know there will be no judgment. I know that they won't reject me. They will just want to help me in my walk with Christ. But I'll be honest with you guys, there are many times where I just don't want to confess. I don't want to tell them because it can feel uncomfortable, but it's so important. And so I'd really encourage you to find somebody, if you don't have that already, find somebody you can trust, somebody that you know is going to help you in your walk with Christ and lean into them and confess to them. And the last thing is identify a person that you can share your faith with. If you have made the decision to accept Christ as your Savior, find a person. You might be working from home, and so you might have to use other means of technology to share your faith. But we have so many different ways that we can share. And so I'd encourage you this week to share. And what I want to do now is just pray for us. God, we thank you for this day. And as we said many times, we're so thankful for the fact that we're together and that we're worshiping you and meeting together. I just pray for us as we go throughout our week that we would be just conscious of the others around us in our life, that we would you would give us opportunities to share the gift that you have given us with those that are around us. We pray this prayer in your name. Amen.